Let me invite your attention tonight for our consideration in the Word of God to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark and verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark 10, beginning to read at verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. In 1984, David Vaught was an 8-year-old little boy who lived with his family in Garman, Texas, which is just outside of Dallas, Texas. That summer, David had an experience that was so scary that even to just hear about it is almost enough to make a shiver run down your spine. In August of that year, David, his mother, his stepfather, his cousin, and his 4-year-old little brother, Justin, were on a visit to Big Bend National Park. One evening, about 6 p.m., they were taking a walk out in the woods, and that is when they encountered a 70-pound male mountain lion. I was walking down the path, and my brother was just behind me when I saw it, said David. I told my brother to get out of the way, but the lion was already leaping toward him. If it had gotten him, it would have killed him. So David acted quickly. He shoved his little brother out of the way. That's when the male mountain lion pounced on David. It knocked him to the ground, and it got David's head between its jaws. "The cougar was all over me," said David. "It had my head in its mouth, but when it opened its mouth to breathe, my stepfather grabbed it around the throat and tried to choke it. That didn't work, and so he started kicking it and screaming at it." That's when the mountain lion turned and bit Chris Brown, David's stepfather. For a few moments, they wrestled on the ground, the man and the animal, before the animal turned tail and ran back into the woods. "We all started yelling," said Chris Brown, "and it ran one way and we ran the other." Brown stripped off his shirt and bandaged David's wounded head. He hoisted the youngster up on his shoulders and ran with the family to a park lodge. After David had been treated at the park lodge, he was transferred to an alpine hospital a little bit more than 100 miles away. And from there, he was taken back to Dallas, and he went into Parkland Memorial Hospital. Meanwhile, trackers had hunted down the mountain lion that had staged the attack. They found it about 300 yards from the spot where the attack had occurred, and they shot it to death. An autopsy on the animal was good news for David. The mountain lion was not rabid. From his bed in Parkland Hospital, David said this. He said, "I didn't cry. I didn't cry. I just put my head between my knees and said prayers." Doctors were planning a series of skin grafts to reconstruct David's damaged scalp, but they didn't expect there to be any permanent damage. "He's got a long way to go," said Chris Brown, "but the doctors think they can put everything back together again." And then his stepfather added this. He said, "He's perked up immensely. He's a real trooper." You know something, folks? I'll buy that. If you ask me, that is one very, very brave little boy. And I agree. He's a real trooper. But you know, troopers come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all ages and colors and descriptions. Because courage is not the exclusive property of people with muscles and brawn. Courage is a matter of the human heart. Courage is an affair of the human spirit. And courage is an indispensable ingredient for effective living. And tonight, I would like to challenge you to measure your courage. To measure your courage. In the fierce battle of Christian living, with all of its difficulties, with all of its disappointments, with all of its frustrations, are you a real trooper? Are you? Are you? You know, back in Dallas, at Victor Street Bible Chapel, where I minister the word on a regular basis, we enjoy singing that delightful little children's chorus, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known." And I'm sure that everybody in this audience who knows the story of Daniel will agree that Daniel was a man of remarkable and impressive courage. But I'm wondering if, as we read the passage of Scripture that we read just a few moments ago, I wonder if you realize that we were reading about a man with unusual courage. Unusual courage. Oh yes, he was a beggar. But what else would you expect him to be? He was also blind. And remember, this was a long time before there was any such thing as aid-dependent children or disability insurance. And the Roman government couldn't have cared less about a man like Bartimaeus. And there Bartimaeus was, sitting at a roadside, probably not far from a main gate in the city where there was a lot of human traffic. And day after day after day, he had to depend for his living upon the charity of people who passed him by. Try to put yourself in his shoes. Try to imagine what that kind of a life would have been like. Some of you maybe are going to wake up in the morning and feel sorry that you have to get out of bed and go to work. Well, thank God you can get out of bed. Thank God you can go to a job where you can see what you are doing. But what must it have been like to have spent all your days in darkness and to depend for everything upon the pity of people who passed you by? Can't you imagine the waves of bitterness and frustration and despair that must have washed over the soul of a man like Bartimaeus? And I can assure you that there are some people who would have been utterly crushed by that kind of an existence. They would have been overwhelmed by feelings of hopelessness and despair. But not Bartimaeus. Not blind Bartimaeus. You see, here was a man who didn't know how to lose hope. Here was a man who didn't know what it meant to quit. You see, as Bartimaeus sat by the roadside in the city of Jericho, he was evidently collecting more than coins. He was also collecting information. And he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth, that famous rabbi who was traveling throughout the land of Palestine and healing and preaching the word of God. And on this particular day when Jericho was filled with people, Bartimaeus had discovered that Jesus had come to his very own city. And evidently, as soon as he found that out, he lifted up his voice and he began to cry, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Are you impressed by that cry? I am. I am very impressed. Did you notice that he does not cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me"? Instead, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And with those words, "Son of David," Bartimaeus reveals that he understood who Jesus was. That he was the very one who had been prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures to come from the line of David to be Israel's Savior and King. He knew who Jesus was. What an irony. What an irony. Here is a man with two sightless orbs in his head. But with the eyes of his heart, he sees Jesus Christ more clearly than most of the sighted people who were all around him. He knew who Jesus was. And because he knew who Jesus was, he had hope instead of hopelessness. He had faith instead of fear. And may I suggest he had one other thing that it is very important to have. He had courageous determination. He had courageous determination. Have you ever been out in a crowd and tried to attract the attention of somebody who's a long way away above the hustle and bustle and noise of the crowd? You know how hard that is to do? And there was a big crowd in Jericho that day, so I'm sure that when Bartimaeus lifted up his voice, he cried out at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And that bothered some of the crowd. And they tried to quiet him down. And maybe they said things like, "Shut up, blind man. Jesus doesn't have time for a pitiful beggar like you. Jesus can't waste his time with a miserable wretch like you. Keep quiet. Keep quiet." But you know, there was nothing timid about this man. Nothing cowardly about Bartimaeus. Do you realize that anybody in that crowd could have reached out and struck him across the face and he wouldn't have even known which direction the blow came from? But the Bible tells us that when they tried to quiet him down, he cried out all the more. He cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He had courageous determination. And did you know that some of the most determined people in the history of the world have been blind? We all know about Helen Keller. Not only blind, but deaf and mute. And yet she learned to cope with her handicap so effectively that she became an inspiration to millions. But you probably have never heard about Henry Fawcett. Henry Fawcett was a young Englishman who was out hunting with his father one day. and he was accidentally blinded by a shell from his father's gun. Later he said this. He said, within 10 minutes after the accident, I made up my mind to stick to my purpose as much as in me lay. And he did. He graduated from Cambridge University, one of the most prestigious schools in Great Britain. And later he was appointed Postmaster General of England. And it was Henry Fawcett, the blind postmaster, who gave England its first parcel post. I have a blind friend of my own back in Dallas, and his name is Sam. When Sam was a little boy, he lost the sight of one eye to an eye infection. Later, he was hit in the eye with a stone, the other eye, and lost the sight of that, and he's been totally blind ever since. Sam worked his way through grade school and high school using Braille textbooks. But that's not all. Sam is a bodybuilder and an accomplished wrestler. He has wrestled competitively with guys who have both eyes good, and he's beaten a whole bunch of them. And some years ago, he got interested in rodeo, and he's done some steer wrestling. And you know, there's no feeling of self-pity in Sam. In fact, he's got a great sense of humor. He told me one time, he said, when people ask me, have you been blind all your life, I like to reply, not yet. Once when he was still in school, a classmate informed him that one of his teachers had a new hairdo. And so as he passed her in the hall, he said to her, my, that is an attractive hairdo. You look very good in that. And he said his teacher really flipped out, how does this blind guy know I've got a new hairdo? Several years ago, I attended a Rangers baseball game with Sam. And we were sitting out in the bleachers. And I was preparing to fulfill my long-suppressed desire to be a play-by-play announcer by telling him every ball and strike. Well, as we were sitting there, Sam turned to me and he said, Zane, give me your program. So I gave him my program and he started eating through it as if he were reading it. And I said, Sam, what are you doing? Sam said, well, there's some people sitting up a couple of rows in back of us, and I heard one of them say, that guy down there is blind. And somebody else said, no, he's not. And somebody else said, yes, he is. And somebody else said, how do you know? So Sam was going to read my program and give them a real puzzle to work on. It was my privilege to attend Sam's graduation from high school in 1985. And as he ascended the stairway, preparing to cross the platform unaided and to receive his diploma, the entire graduating class of some 500 or more students rose to their feet, and they gave him a standing ovation. And I've learned a great deal from Sam about facing the adversities of life with courage and with determination. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They're spiritual wimps. They're spiritual wimps. When the going gets tough, they get going, but it's in the opposite direction. There was a play that ran a number of years ago on Broadway with this very interesting title. The title was Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And that's the way some Christians face hard times. They wish the world would stop. They wish they could get off. They wish that they could get out of this messy, messy situation. And we can learn an awful lot from blind Bartimaeus. You see, it really doesn't matter whether you have 20/20 vision in your eyes or whether you have no vision at all. If you can see Jesus, with the eyes of your heart. And if you can keep your heart focused on Him, you'll never lose hope. And you'll never, never, never give up. I understand that Helen Holworth Limmel was blind when she wrote her lovely hymn about the heavenly vision. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in your darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life for abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, it paid off, didn't it? The courageous determination of blind Bartimaeus paid off. You know, I don't have the slightest idea how Jesus picked up the sound of Bartimaeus' cry in that noisy crowd, but one thing I know, that wherever there is a cry for mercy coming from a heart of faith, Jesus always hears. Jesus always hears. So Jesus stops, and He gives instructions that this blind man should be brought to Him. And now that rude and discouraging crowd became very courteous all of a sudden. Cheer up! Be of good cheer, blind man. Why? He is calling for you. My friends, it's just at this point that Bartimaeus does something which I think is one of the most courageous acts that you will read about anywhere in the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that throwing away his garment, he rose and went to Jesus. Hold it, Bartimaeus. Hold it. Do you realize that what you have just done is a super, super dumb thing to do? You are a blind beggar. And a blind beggar is lucky to have one outer garment to his name. And it would take you months and months of begging to buy another outer garment. You don't dare throw that outer garment away in a crowd like this. Somebody's going to pick it up. Or the crowd will trample on it and tear it to bits. Or they'll kick it to some other part of the city where you'll never find it. It's all right to go to Jesus, but be sure you cling to that valuable article of clothing. But don't you see, my friends? Don't you see that not only did blind Bartimaeus have courageous determination, he also had courageous dependence. He had courageous dependence. He was going to Jesus. He wasn't worried about that garment. To begin with, he didn't expect to be blind anymore. He could come back and look for it, and if he lost it, he didn't expect to be a beggar anymore. He would get a job and buy a new one. He wasn't depending on that piece of clothing. He was depending completely on the Son of God. Tell me, what's the article of clothing that you cling to? What is it in your life that you think you have to hold on to, that gives you a sense of security? Is it your family? Your husband, your wife, your bank account, your job, your home? Or have you learned what it means to depend completely on Jesus Christ, our Lord? A father who had three young daughters who had just gone to bed asked one of them if she had said her prayers before hopping into bed. And his daughter informed him that she had not. And the father asked her if she wasn't afraid to go to bed without saying her prayers. And this is what the little girl said. She said, "Not tonight. It's my turn to sleep in the middle." And sometimes, folks, we kind of feel like we're sleeping in the middle. We're surrounded by people. We're surrounded by things. And we think that we can find our security in them, and there is no security anywhere but in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Back in the days when Oliver Cromwell was ruling England, he sent his secretary on an important diplomatic mission to the European continent. And one night as they were staying at a seaport town, the secretary was tossing and turning in his bed. He couldn't get to sleep. And as the custom was in those days, there was a servant of valet sleeping in the room with him. And he was eventually awakened, apparently, by the tossing and turning of his master. So he asked the secretary why it was that the secretary couldn't sleep. And the secretary replied, "I am so afraid that something will go wrong with the mission." The valet said, "Master, may I ask you some questions?" "Why, of course," said the secretary. "Master," said the valet, "did God rule the world before we were born?" "Why, most assuredly he did," said the secretary. "And Master, will God rule the world after we are dead?" "Why, most certainly," replied the secretary. "Well," said the valet, "why not let him rule the present, too?" And the story is that the secretary's heart was so moved by that, that in a short time, both he and his valet were sound asleep. And the Bible says it is vain for you to rise up early. It is vain for you to stay up late. It is vain for you to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved ones sleep. And if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be afraid. And you can even go to sleep. I like the story about the little boy who came home from Sunday school one day and told about a new song they had been singing in Sunday school. And the title of the song, he said, was "Trust and Okay." And you know, that's almost as good as the original version. And maybe we should sing the song like this when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. And all who will trust are okay. I'll tell you something. Bartimaeus was okay. He was okay. He didn't need that garment. He wasn't depending upon that. He was depending completely on Jesus, Son of David, Son of God. And then came the moment of truth. The moment of truth. Bartimaeus was face to face with the Son of God, only he couldn't see that face yet. And he could just listen to his voice, as you and I cannot see him physically, but we hear his word. And I'm sure that the words of Jesus fell on his ears most graciously, and Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, up to this time, Bartimaeus had just been crying out for mercy. But Jesus wanted him to get specific, just like he wants you and me to be specific about our needs. And so Bartimaeus got specific, and he said, "Rabboni, my revered teacher, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." And I want you to try and capture the next scene, because I think it's one of the most lovely scenes in the entire Bible. Jesus says to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately the darkness was lifted, immediately sight was restored. And evidently the first face that Bartimaeus saw was the face of Jesus Christ. And evidently it got very hard for him to get his eyes off that face. Because the next thing we read about him is this, that he followed Jesus on the road. He followed Jesus on the way. Wait a minute, Bartimaeus. Wait. Don't do anything rash. I mean, what about your family? What about your friends? And Bartimaeus, most of all, what about a job? You're an ex-beggar. Where's your next meal coming from, Bartimaeus? Where are you going to spend the night, Bartimaeus? What are you going to use for clothing? You threw that garment away. Wait, Bartimaeus, don't do anything rash. But isn't it clear, my friends, isn't it clear that not only did Bartimaeus have courageous determination, not only did he have courageous dependence, but he had courageous dedication. He had courageous dedication. And from the moment that his eyes were opened, he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He became a follower of the Son of God, and he wasn't worried about the next meal or where he was going to stay or how he was going to support himself, because the one who had opened his eyes or could also meet his every need. And Jesus had said, go your way. But Bartimaeus' way was Jesus' way. And Jesus' way was Bartimaeus' way. And he followed it along the road. Now listen carefully. You and I can be saved and we can go to heaven forever by a simple act of faith, of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the free gift of everlasting life. And it is our faith that has made us well. But know this. It takes courage to be his disciple. It takes courage to follow him down the roadway of life with all of the problems, with all of the frustrations, with all of the difficulties that road may contain. It takes courage to put him first in our lives. But that's where he deserves to be. That's exactly where he deserves to be. In Chickamauga National Park in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there is a unique monument. It is a memorial to a horse. During the Civil War and the Battle of Chickamauga, a cavalry officer on the side of the Union forces was killed during the first charge, and his body fell off the horse. But that brave and gallant animal, instead of withdrawing from the noise and the fury of the battle, continued to charge all morning long with the rest of the cavalry into the battle. And when the battle subsided around noon that day, the horse was struck by a stray bullet, and pretty soon it had died. But the friends of its fallen master, who had observed the gallant and almost human bravery of that animal, buried its remains and marked the spot as best they could. Years later, the state of Wisconsin, from which both the horse and the rider had come, erected the memorial in Chickamauga National Park. And the memorial is called Wisconsin's Riderless Horse. Wisconsin's Riderless Horse. And there is a sense, my friends, in which you and I are to be like that brave and gallant animal. Our master has died. He's gone to heaven. But God expects us to charge into the battle of life just as if he were visibly by our side. But then again, we're not riderless horses, are we? We are not alone. And the Bible has reminded us that he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And therefore, my Christian friend, tonight, go back to that hard situation. Go back to that difficult person. Go back to that messy, messy problem. And face it bravely. Face it courageously. For you see, if you trust, everything will be okay. Shall we pray?